Chapter 26. In recent years, the Stancy had been uneasy, melancholy, an aspiring officer, enervated and depressed by a parental affection quite beyond his control for the graceless lad there, the obtrusive memento of a shadowy period in the Stancy's youth, who threatened to be the curse of his old age. Throughout a long space he had persevered in his system of rigidly incarcerating within himself all instincts towards the opposite sex, with a resolution that would not have disgraced a much stronger man. By this habit, maintained with fair success, a chamber of his nature had been preserved intact during many later years, like the one solitary sealed-up cell occasionally retained by bees in a lobe of drained honeycomb. And thus, though he had irretrievably exhausted the relish of society, of ambition, of action, and of his profession, the love force that he had kept immured alive was still a reproducible thing. The sight of Paula in her graceful performance, which the judicious stare had so carefully planned, led up to and heightened by subtle accessories, operated on the Stancy's surprised soul with a promptness almost magical. On the evening of the selfsame day, having dined as usual, he retired to his rooms, where he found a hamper of wine awaiting him. It had been anonymously sent, and the account was paid. He smiled grimly, but no longer with heaviness. In this he instantly recognized the handiwork of Dare, who, having at last broken down the barrier which the Stancy had erected round his heart for so many years, acted like a skilled strategist, and took swift measures to follow up the advantage so tardily gained. Captain de Stancy knew himself conquered. He knew he should yield to Paula, and indeed yielded. But there was now, in his solitude, an hour or two of reaction. He did not drink from the bottle sent. He went early to bed, and lay tossing thereon till far into the night, thinking over the collapse. His teetotalism had, with the lapse of years, unconsciously become the outward and visible sign to himself of his secret vows, and a return to its opposite, however mildly done, signified with ceremonious distinctness the formal acceptance of delectations long forsworn. But the exceeding freshness of his feeling for Paula, which by reason of its long arrest was that of a man far under 30, and was a wonder to himself every instant, would not long brook weighing in balances. He wished suddenly to commit himself, to remove the question of retreat out of the region of debate. The clock struck two, and the wish became determination. He arose, and wrapping himself in his dressing gown went to the next room, where he took from a shelf in the pantry several large bottles, which he carried to the window, till they stood on the sill a goodly row. There had been sufficient light in the room for him to do this without a candle. Now he softly opened the sash, and the radiance of a gibbous moon riding in the opposite sky flooded the apartment. It fell on the labels of the captain's bottles, revealing their contents to be simple aerated waters for drinking. De Stancy looked out and listened. The guns that stood drawn up within the yard glistened in the moonlight reaching them from over the barrack wall. There was an occasional stamp of horses in the stables, also a measured tread of sentinels, one or more at the gates, one at the hospital, one between the wings, two at the magazine, and others further off. Recurring to his intention, he drew the corks of the mineral waters, and inverting each bottle one by one over the window sill, heard its contents dribble in a small stream onto the gravel below. He then opened the hamper which Dare had sent. Uncorking one of the bottles, he murmured, "To Paula!" and drank a glass of the ruby liquor. "A man again after 18 years, he said, shutting the sash and returning to his bedroom. The first overt result of his kindled interest in Miss Power was his saying to his sister the day after the surreptitious sight of Paula, "I am sorry, Charlotte, for a word or two I said the other day. I was rather disrespectful to your friend Miss Power. I don't think so, were you? Yes. When we were walking in the wood, I made a stupid joke about her. What does she know about me? Do you ever speak of me to her? Only in general terms. What general terms? You know well enough, William, of your idiosyncrasies, and so on, that you are a bit of a woman-hater, or at least a confirmed bachelor, and have but little respect for your own family. I wish you had not told her that, said DeStancy with dissatisfaction. But I thought you always liked women to know your principles. Said Charlotte, in injured tones, and would particularly like her to know them, living so near. Yes, replied her brother hastily. Well, I ought to see her, just to show her that I am not quite a brute. That would be very nice. She answered, putting her hands together in agreeable astonishment. It is just what I have wished, though I did not dream of suggesting it, after what I have heard you say. I am going to stay with her again tomorrow, and I will let her know about this. Don't tell her anything plainly, for heaven's sake. I really want to see the interior of the castle. I have never entered its walls since my babyhood. He raised his eyes as he spoke to where the walls in question showed their ashlar faces over the trees. You might have gone over it at any time. Oh yes. It is only recently that I have thought much of the place. I feel now that I should like to examine the old building thoroughly, since it was for so many generations associated with our fortunes, especially as most of the old furniture is still there. My sedulous avoidance hitherto of all relating to our family vicissitudes has been, I own, stupid conduct for an intelligent being, but impossible grapes are always sour, and I have unconsciously adopted radical notions to obliterate disappointed hereditary instincts. But these have a trick of re-establishing themselves as one gets older, and the castle, and what it contains, have a keen interest for me now. It contains Paula. DeStancy's pulse, which had been beating languidly for many years, beat double at the sound of that name. I meant furniture and pictures for the moment, he said, but I don't mind extending the meaning to her, if you wish it. She is the rarest thing there. So you have said before. The castle and our family history have as much romantic interest for her as they have for you, Charlotte went on. She delights in visiting our tombs and effigies and ponders over them for hours. Indeed. Said DeStancy, allowing his surprise to hide the satisfaction which accompanied it. That should make us friendly. Does she see many people? Not many as yet. And she cannot have many staying there during the alterations. Yes, the alterations. Didn't you say that he has had a London architect stopping there on that account? What was he, old or young? He is a young man. He has been to our house. Don't you remember you met him there? What was his name? Mr. Somerset. Oh, that man. Yes, I remember. Hello, Lottie. What? Your face is as red as a peony. Now I know a secret. Charlotte vainly endeavored to hide her confusion. Very well, not a word. I won't say more, continued DeStancy good-humoredly, except that he seems to be a very nice fellow. DeStancy had turned the dialogue onto this little well-preserved secret of his sister's with sufficient outward lightness, but it had been done in instinctive concealment of the disquieting start with which he had recognized that Somerset, Dare's enemy, whom he had intercepted in placing Dare's portrait into the hands of the chief constable, was a man beloved by his sister Charlotte. This novel circumstance might lead to a curious complication. But he was to hear more. He may be very nice, apostrophe replied Charlotte, with an effort, after this silence. But he is nothing to me, more than a very good friend. Apostrophe apostrophe, there's no engagement, or thought of one between you. Apostrophe apostrophe, certainly there's not. Apostrophe apostrophe, said Charlotte, with grave emphasis. It is more likely to be between Paula and him than me and him. Apostrophe apostrophe, the Stancy's bare military ears, and closely cropped poll flushed hot. Miss Power and him? Apostrophe, I don't mean to say there is, because Paula denies it, but I mean, that he loves Paula. That I do know. Apostrophe, the Stancy was dumb. This item of news which Dare had kept from him, not knowing how far the Stancy's sense of honor might extend, was decidedly grave. Indeed, he was so greatly impressed with the fact, that he could not help saying as much aloud. This is very serious. Apostrophe apostrophe, why? Apostrophe apostrophe, she murmured tremblingly, for the first leaking out of her tender and sworn secret had disabled her quite. Because I love Paula too. Apostrophe apostrophe, what do you say, William, you? A woman you have never seen? Apostrophe, I have seen her by accident. And now, my dear little sis, you will be my close ally, won't you? As I will be yours, as brother and sister should be. Apostrophe apostrophe, he placed his arm coaxingly around Charlotte's shoulder. Oh, William, how can I? Apostrophe apostrophe, at last she stammered. Why, how can you, I should say? We are both in the same ship. I love Paula, you love Mr. Somerset. It behoves both of us to see that this flirtation of theirs ends in nothing. Apostrophe apostrophe, I don't like you to put it like that I love him, it frightens me, apostrophe murmured the girl, visibly agitated. I don't want to divide him from Paula. I couldn't, I wouldn't do anything to separate them. Believe me, Will, I could not. I am sorry you love there also, though I should be glad, if it happened in the natural order of events, that she should come round to you. But I cannot do anything to part them, and make Mr. Somerset suffer. It would be too wrong and blamable. Apostrophe, now, you silly Charlotte, that's just how you women fly off at a tangent. I mean nothing dishonorable in the least. Have I ever prompted you to do anything dishonorable? Fair fighting allies was all I thought of. Apostrophe apostrophe, Miss Stancy breathed more freely. Yes, we will be that, of course. We are always that, William. But I hope I can be your ally, and be quite neutral. I would so much rather. Apostrophe apostrophe, well, I suppose it will not be a breach of your precious neutrality, if you get me invited to see the castle? Apostrophe apostrophe, oh no. Apostrophe apostrophe, she said brightly. I don't mind doing such a thing as that. Why not come with me tomorrow? I will say I am going to bring you. There will be no trouble at all. Apostrophe, the Stancy readily agreed. The effect upon him of the information now acquired was to intensify his ardor tenfold, the stimulus being due to a perception that Somerset, with a little more knowledge, would hold a card which could be played with disastrous effect against himself, his relationship to Dare. Its disclosure to a lady of such Puritan antecedents as Paula's would probably mean her immediate severance from himself as an unclean thing. Is Miss Power a severe pietist, or precisian, or is she a compromising lady? Apostrophe apostrophe, he asked abruptly. She is severe and uncompromising, if you mean in her judgments on morals, apostrophe said Charlotte, not quite hearing. The remark was peculiarly apposite, and the Stancy was silent. He spent some following hours in a close study of the castle history, which till now had unutterably bored him. More particularly did he dwell over documents and notes which referred to the pedigree of his own family. He wrote out the names of all, and they were many, who had been born within those domineering walls since their first erection. of those among them who had been brought thither by marriage with the younger, and of stranger knights and gentlemen who had entered the castle by marriage with its mistress. He refreshed his memory on the strange loves and hates that had arisen in the course of the family history, on memorable attacks, and the dates of the same, the most memorable among them being the occasion on which the party represented by Paula battered down the castle walls, that she was now about to mend, and, as he hoped, return in their original intact shape to the family dispossessed, by marriage with himself, its living representative. In Sir William's villa were small engravings after many of the portraits, in the castle galleries, some of them hanging in the dining room in plain oak and maple frames, and others preserved in portfolios. D'Estancy spent much of his time over these, and in getting up the romances of their originals' lives from memoirs and other records, all which stories were as great novelties to him as they could possibly be to any stranger. Most interesting to him was the life of Anne Edward. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.